Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Well, today's Mother's Day, and it's a day of mixed emotions. I just want to acknowledge that. For some, today is a day of great celebration. It is. For others, possibly not so much a day of celebration. Maybe a day of gloominess. For some, possibly it's a day of regret or mourning because of a loss. My prayer for you today is that Jesus would come and meet you wherever you are. Wherever you are, and you would find yourself being ministered to by Him, the one who loves you. Today I want us to look at Jesus' mother, Mary, the mother of Christ. What made her different? Why was she chosen? Is there something from her life that we can glean, both mothers, non-mothers, men and women, students? What can we glean from her life that would help us to love Jesus more? Maybe Mary was an extraordinary person with extraordinary faith, with extraordinary courage, with extraordinary strength, or maybe she was an ordinary person who had ordinary courage and ordinary faith. And maybe that's the point that God's trying to make to us, that He uses ordinary people to accomplish His extraordinary work. And what He's looking for is not talent or capability. He's looking for willingness and faithfulness. And He equips everyone who's available. Say that with me. Say, He equips everyone who is available. And His equipping, I'll tell you, is sufficient to accomplish the extraordinary. My favorite scripture, or one of my favorite, is Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine, according to His power at work within us. And so, there it is. Mary, the mother of Jesus. What's the Bible say about her? Now, we've had a lot of news recently with the Pope. There's a new Pope. I don't know if you watched the news. Apparently, he's a Chicago Cubs fan or something. I don't know. I think. There's a new Pope. And I think it would be appropriate to say a couple things about Mary and what she is and what she's not. Mary, the Bible calls her blessed. The angel said, you're highly favored. And so we know that she's blessed and we know that she's highly favored. But we also know that we don't pray to Mary. We don't ask Mary to tell Jesus anything. He has the ability to hear on His own. We go straight to the source because of what Christ has done. Jesus has made that available to us. Here's a big phrase that'll make you sound smart at the watering machine at work. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. You just drop that one in the water cooler and I'm just kidding. But we do. Because of what Jesus has done, we now have access to God. He's our high priest. Jesus Himself said, I'm the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But we can safely see and easily see that Mary was a powerful woman. The Bible is clear. What was it that made her great? The goal of Mary, we see in Scripture time and time again, was to glorify Jesus. Jesus is the central person of the gospel and the entire New Testament and the entire Bible. Mary's not the central person. However, she's key, and we should call her blessed. So she is a young Jewish woman, maybe born in Jerusalem, but from Nazareth. She was chosen by God to conceive supernaturally the Christ child through the incarnate, through the Holy Spirit. She was a virgin, visited by an angel. We're going to read that in just a moment. What made her unique was that she seemed very plain, very ordinary. She didn't have money. She didn't have power. She didn't have some great influence. She wasn't a political force. She didn't have great name recognition. She was a faithful, God-fearing young Jewish girl from Nazareth, chosen by God. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, here's what it says. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. Mary, you found, there it is, favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month already, Mary. For no word from God will ever fail." Mary's response, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. Four things I want to draw from the life of Mary. Number one, Mary was a servant. Be a servant like Mary. Mary was a servant. Be a servant like Mary. We mostly read this passage, not in the springtime, but in the wintertime, right? At Christmas. It sounds like a Christmas passage, the birth of Jesus. God is announcing the arrival of his son. The greatest event in history, the arrival of Jesus. And it seems that Mary is plucked out of obscurity. We can't find anything, how would you say it, earthly, exceptional about her. And I think that might be the point. However, we know that she's faithful. So we know she's faithful. And Mary saw herself as a servant. She communicated that. She had the idea that God was God and she was his servant. Mary chose to be a servant. Can I tell you that being a servant is a choice? Being a servant is a choice. Mary's visited by the angel and she's a little bit on edge. I don't know if I've ever had interaction with an angel. The Bible does say that we do that unaware at times. I don't know if I've ever had. But if I knew, and he shows up, like, and, you know, I'm going to be a little bit, concerned? A little bit like, what's going on? She's a little bit unsettled, right? The angel says, "Hey, Mary, don't be afraid. You found favor with God." The message was to Mary, God's favor is upon you. Mary's response is, "I am a servant." Three characteristics of a Jesus-loving servant. Number one, servants are happy. to be chosen. Servants are happy to be chosen. Everybody just say happy, 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 happy. Happy, 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 happy. Servants are happy to be chosen. Listen, I know you hadn't seen the sunshine in 4 days, but you can smile at church today. This is not forced labor. This is volunteer servanthood. This is the kind of servant is a happy servant, happy to serve. She could have got a job at Chick-fil-A. I mean, that was kind of funny, wasn't it? My pleasure, Adam. The master has chosen us, and we are delighted to serve. We are delighted to serve. Mary says in verse 36, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. The angel left her. That's what God is looking for. I am the Lord's maidservant. Actually, is the correct. It was the feminine because Mary's a woman. It was personal. She says, that's for me. I agree with that. I am a servant. I receive that responsibility and I'm happy to serve. Servants are faithful to be obedient. I'm the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your words be fulfilled. The angel leaves her. In other words, Mary was saying, I receive and agree with what you're saying. She wasn't pushing it off. She was embracing it. Now, I would gather that if an angel came in angel power, there's not a bunch of us that are going to say, you know, you can just walk out the door with that stuff. I don't think so. My guess is they could be very convincing. I am committing to the plan that you have for me. I will be faithful to be obedient. Let's think about this for a moment. What was Mary agreeing to? She wasn't agreeing to go on a 2-week missions trip. What was she agreeing to? What the angel had told her. That would happen. Let's think of the implications of that. This is a big deal. Right? Smile. It's a big deal. It wasn't. She wasn't trying to sign up for church membership or to help for a year in the nursery. She was saying, I agree with what you're saying. I receive that. I am an active participant, willing and happy to nurture, to incubate, to give birth, and be a mother for the rest of my life to him. Faithful to be obedient. I'll give birth. I'll raise this child. I'll follow through faithfully. Now, I think it would be fair to say for those who have had a baby, when you were pregnant with your first, you really didn't have a great context of what you were getting into. I mean, you're just like, what do I know? I've never been pregnant, so we're warming up a little bit. Mary's happy, and she's willing to be faithful. Servants are faithful. Being a mother is a lifelong job. If the Lord blesses you with children, you'll always be their mother. When the Lord blesses you with life in your womb, he is saying, I trust you with this child. I want you to think about that for a moment. This is my creation, and I'm allowing you to bring life to this baby. I chose you to be a mother Moms, if God can trust you, then He will empower you to accomplish His purpose. His strength is sufficient for all of it. Mary was faithful. She made sure, we see in the Bible, that on the eighth day, according to custom and law, that she would have him in a temple because he's a firstborn male. She would consecrate him to the Lord. He would be circumcised and given a name. That was all done on the eighth day. The angel told her what his name would be. She followed through with obedience, making sure she brought him into the house of God and consecrated him according to custom and law. She was faithful. Men, women, students, God is looking for faithfulness. He's looking for faithfulness. Servants are faithful. Servants trust the promises of God. They trust the promises of God. Mary says, all right, how's this thing going to work out? All right? How's this going to work out, Mr. Angel Man? How's this going to work out? How am I ain't married. I never been with a man. How am I going to have a baby? It was a legitimate question. Would you agree? It's legitimate. The angel explains to her, this kid, this son, this child, this boy will be different. You have been chosen to incubate the Son of God. Ordinary Mary from Nazareth, no name recognition. Her dad wasn't the governor or even the mayor. We don't even think he was on the Board of Education or even in the neighborhood watch. But you've been chosen. Can I tell you that God has purpose for you? If you'll trust the promises of God, that He will always follow through. Mary says, how can this be? The angel explains it to her, and her response is, may your words to me come to pass. I agree with them. I receive them. May your words come to pass. Be a servant like Mary. Be a servant like Mary. Number two, have a contagious faith like Mary. Her faith was contagious. We see in Scripture, after the angel visits her, obviously we just read it, she's told about her relative, probably a cousin, a close relative, Elizabeth. She's told about Elizabeth, who's pregnant. Now, if I'm Mary, and I have an angel come to me, and I'm in her condition, and say, guess what? A few months, you're going to have a baby. How's this going to work out? Oh, don't worry. Here it is. Oh, by the way, Elizabeth, who's old and is barren, she's already 6 months pregnant. I'm probably going to find Elizabeth because I need to talk to somebody about this thing that's happening in my life. So Mary goes. She's going to check this thing out. Luke 1:39 says this. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town and the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now that was Elizabeth and Zechariah, were husband and wife. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, imagine, she's on the outside. Elizabeth, here's the connotation. She's not taking the slow route. She's going, straight line. She's jumping over fences, running through a backyard. She's getting there, right? Elizabeth hears her. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt, bounced, jumped in her womb, the Bible says. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll come back to that in a moment. In a loud voice, she, Elizabeth, exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me, Elizabeth said. As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. Elizabeth, Zechariah, were the to-be parents of John the Baptist. John the Baptist and Jesus were relatives, again, probably a cousin. John the Baptist precedes Jesus, we know, by about 6 months, right? He precedes him. Elizabeth, barren, old, unable to have children, becomes pregnant 6 months before Mary, a virgin, unable to have children, and both of them are pregnant supernaturally. For Elizabeth, God opens her womb. You go back and read the story. It's powerful. And explains to them the child that they will have a specific role. Mary becomes pregnant, and it was explained to her that her child would have a specific role. Here's what we can draw from that exchange. When you carry the presence of Jesus with you, supernatural things happen. When you carry the presence of Jesus with you, supernatural things happen. When you surrender your life to Christ, a miracle happens inside of you. You become a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Christ, by his Spirit, dwells inside of you, and you carry with you, listen, the presence of God, that he would choose to dwell among his people. You carry with you, inside of you, believer, is New Testament power. Supernatural power. Now, Mary literally has Christ forming inside of her. At this stage, I mean, peanut size at best, right? Tiny. The presence of God inside of you is invisible to the world. But I'm telling you, is visible in the spirit realm. And when you have the presence of Christ with you, you should expect supernatural things to happen. I'm calling you forth. Those who have the Spirit of Jesus, those who have been born again, who surrender your life, to rise up, mighty woman of God. Rise up, mighty man of God. Rise up, mighty student of God. Not shrinking back. Now is the time not to take a back seat. Now is not the time to retreat. Now is not the time to go backwards. You have with you supernatural power living inside of you. So Elizabeth sees Mary. Inside of them are two miracles. Elizabeth, too old to conceive, Mary, a virgin, so that's impossible, but God did it both times. Once they saw each other, the miracle starts to happen. The Holy Spirit in Mary was so obvious that both the unborn John and Elizabeth recognized it. Right? We just read it. As a matter of fact, Elizabeth was told that her son would be baptized in the Holy Spirit before birth. The only one in Scripture that we know of. Most scholars think that when Elizabeth was baptized in the Holy Spirit, so was John. He leapt in her womb. The Jesus inside of Mary was obvious to Elizabeth. The Jesus inside of Mary did something for those around. Obvious to people around you. Several years ago, I think three, we started Compassion 127. Based on James 127, that says this: what God the Father considers to be pure and genuine religion is this, to take care of orphans and widows and their suffering and to keep oneself from being corrupted by the world. So we looked at that scripture and we said, okay, God, I think it's pretty clear. You have a special place in your heart for the powerless, for the weak, for the needy, for those who need help. And James is clear, right? So we started this with a couple things in mind. We're like, all right, we know, according to the Bible, that we should pay close attention, special attention, and give special care to widows in the church. There it is, right? And that we should also be aware, take special care of orphans. You could apply that even fatherless. Those single mothers raising their kids on their own, I think they deserve, and the Bible is clear, that we give special attention to care for and love and help and go above and beyond. So we started, right? We're like, all right, we're going to give to this and we're going to help some widows, and then we're going to try to figure this thing out as we go because we know that God has called us to do something. So many of you know that we do a food ministry, right? Every week we do a food ministry, and there's a team of people, and some of you are able to serve every week, some of you serve occasionally, and powerful, and God's making a big difference. And so recently we had an opportunity to do something about orphans more specifically. As a matter of fact, we've been praying for probably a couple years. Okay, God, and what's the way that we can accomplish this at Life Church Birmingham so that when you come, Jesus, and you say, how did you do with James 1:27? How did you care for the orphans and widows? And many of you have opened your home, you have fostered, and you have adopted. The church, greater church, has a responsibility. So we have some willing people. And recently we were able to come in contact with what's called a care portal. A care portal is set up by Lifeline so that the community could help with families who've agreed to foster and partner with them to make the load a little lighter. And many of you know Nina and Eddie Powers. They're adopted several times. And so Nina sees this as like, this is something we can do. She digs into it and realizes, all right, what we're committing to is just be available. And if we can help, we can help. And so, I don't know, I can't remember the day. She calls me, what do you think? And I'm like, this is exactly what the Bible says. What's the risk? She says, there's no risk. What's the opportunity? She says, oh, it's a bunch of opportunity. We go on to a portal, and we see a need that's vetted and posted by Lifeline. This is a legitimate foster family, and they're in need of a pack and play, a high chair, clothes, because tonight at 8:30, there's going to be twin girls that walk in the door from a disrupted family life. They can't even stay with a relative, and we need clothes for them. So this portal set up, and Anna's like, let's do it. So the next day, or the day following this, they roll up to Target to pick up the Target food pickup, knowing that we sign up for this portal, and they peep over in the dumpster and see this. Throw the picture up there. They see inside the dumpster brand new cribs, brand new pack and plays, brand new nursing chairs, brand new car seats, because they can't sell it if it's a floor model. And so sometimes permission's necessary, but not always. So they do a little dumpster diving, right? And I think the joke is it looks a little bit like the Clampets there, just packed up, right? And so we started saying yes, right? We started saying, yeah, just kind of put that one there. Maybe some, yeah, just drop that right there. You can sit in and hold your baby right there. Make it look nice, fellas. Swivel it around. Look at that. We got pack and plays. We got baby chairs. So we reached out to an area church and said, how about we partner together? And so Clearview Baptist is partnering with us, right? Clean Conscious Diapers. Emphasis on clean. And they said, I tell you what, we've got some space. you guys can use some space we got for storage, and we'll partner together, right? Hey, bring me one of those chairs, brother. Can you bring that to me? Thanks, man. Brand new, brother. Brand new. And so we said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sign up for the care portal. So here's the deal. We begin the training process. We're trained, vetted, and here's how it works. It works when Lifeline vets a need, they post it, and if you can meet the need, you click on it and post it. And so we got a team of people. I'll just a couple names here to help us. You met Nina. I mentioned Carrie Collins, his pickup truck. It's a pickup truck, ain't it? You picking it up, man. Anita Avat, Kathy Robinson, Brittany Sparks have formed a team, a core team, in order to help facilitate this. And so here's the deal. We're just waiting for the first person needs a crib. Guess what? Delivery's on the way, baby. We're just waiting for someone who needs a car seat. Delivery's on the way, baby. We need someone that needs clean diapers. We don't need dirty diapers. There's a room full of stuff at the bottom of the hill at our sister church over there partnering with us. And so what we're asking you to do is to be part of it. You can be part of it by donating clean. Don't bring a worn out, nasty old stained up stuff. Can be used. You can upcycle. That's all right. Clean, usable items. And bring them to Anita and Kathy. So we're going to set up a deal where you can connect with them and donate. And then we're going to send couples into homes. At least one man, at least one woman will go and deliver these things. Sometimes we won't have the ability to do an old dumpster. There was no trash in there. It was just a bunch of new stuff. So some of y'all are going to Target right after this. You'll be like, look, I need some new wheels. I need a sprinkler, a garden hose. What else they got down there in the bottom of that dumpster? My daughter had to move from her dorm room to a different dorm room because she's staying for a couple weeks to do some training for a track meet. And she's like, oh, yeah, when people leave college, they throw all kinds of stuff away. I would just dumpster dive in a day, Dad. I got a carpet. I got a dresser for my apartment. We raised them right, honey. Her grandmother would be proud. My mom used to pull over on the side of the road on trash day. Yeah, how many? And she's like, oh, I believe I could do something with that. And I'm like fourth grade. I'm ducking down the back seat of this two-door Pontiac that was about as big as a stage. I'm ducking down. Mom's going through the neighbor's trash, pulling stuff out to use. And I'm like, oh, and now we're doing it. Listen, here's the point. The Jesus inside of you should be obvious to those around you. The Jesus inside of you should be obvious to those around you. And one way you can be obvious is to obey James 1:27. Come on, let's care for some orphans. Let's care for some foster families. When they get that call, right? Who knows what time? My sister-in-law used to do that. She was making that call and saying, I need a family at 1 a.m. because, you know, crazy stuff happens after dark. And these poor kids don't have nowhere to go. And there's some family that's opened their door and been trained and ready for them. And we want to come in. We want to come in and say, we're with you, man. We're with you. What do you need? What do you need? Here's the cool thing about this portal. One cool thing. You know, a lot of these athletes in college are making big bucks. Some of them will play professional sports for 4 years while they're at university and never play professional sports again because they didn't get drafted. The head coach at Auburn, Roll Tide War Eagle, has a heart for orphans. So he is after his guys. I want you to use some of your NIL money to load up on this portal and donate some money. So there's times where people who participate don't have the needs. They can apply for one of those gift cards donated by the Auburn football team to use to go to the store and buy it and come deliver it. I think that's a pretty good thing. Come on. Let your faith be contagious. Go in your closet. Don't pull out all nasty stuff. Come, let's do this together. We need people that can go into homes and set stuff up. We need people that can help deliver. We need people that can help organize. After service next Sunday, there's a short informational meeting in the cafe where you can find out how to practically be involved. You can make a small commitment, an occasional commitment, a one-time commitment, or an ongoing commitment. But we're committed to James 1:27. Pure religion is caring for orphans and widows. And I'm so proud of Nina and Eddie and Carrie and Anita and Kathy and Brittany and all. I'm sure I'm missing somebody. John, where's John? He was down the dumpster diving. Have a contagious faith like Mary. Number three, trust in Jesus like Mary. So Jesus didn't stay a little boy. I know some of your mothers, you see your 212-pound son like he was when he was three. I get it, right? Because we got one. Well, actually, I think he's 2 1/4. He's been in a bulking phase for about 3 years. That was funny. Here's Mary and Jesus. We don't see anything from Jesus' life. He's a baby. He's a little boy. They run. They escape persecution, execution of two-year-old little boys. They come back. They find him in the temple and nothing. Now he's at a wedding with his mama. They're celebrating with the family who's getting married. John 2 records it this way, verse 1, on the third day of the wedding, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. So they're there celebrating. Well, the wine was gone. Jesus' mother says to him, hey, they have no more wine. Jesus says, woman, why do you involve me? Now, don't read that word woman as a sarcastic response. It was an honoring term. Woman, why would you tell me this? Why would you think to bring it up that they're running out? Why would you say that to me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. So Jesus, little boy, he's in the temple, now he's at a wedding. We don't have not much to go on before then. Mary and Jesus are at the wedding. So Mary recognizes the problem. Whether Jesus knew it or not, we don't know. But she recognizes the problem. It brings it to Jesus. And he's like, What am I supposed to do? I'm here just like you. I'm an invited guest. And she's like, you know. That's the implication, right? How do we know that? Because he's like, my hour is not yet come. So she's like, Jesus. He's like, not yet. So Jesus is humbly resisting the limelight. This is a fascinating interaction. Jesus is humbly resisting the limelight. Also, Jesus is realizing that it's not yet time for him to be seen as the miracle-working Son of God publicly. And it seems that his mother talks him into helping in some capacity. It's absolutely fascinating. And so my hour has not yet come. And she's like, all right. Hey, whatever he says, just do it. He's like, what? I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, right? But that's what she says. Whatever he says to do, do it. Now, if he says, drop the whole thing, we'll drop it. If he says, go find a bunch of barrels of water, go find them. Mary sees and knows the power of Christ. She trusts him to be able to handle the big and the little. What's the worst thing that would happen? Now, it would be a great embarrassment to the family to not be able to supply for all the wedding festivities. It would be a great embarrassment. So Jesus says, all right, go find some barrels and fill them with water. He gives the people something to do and they do it. Mary promotes Jesus. She wants him to shine. She believed he could take care of the problem. It was like, Jesus, dear, Jesus, I was there when the angel was there. I was there when I had to talk Joseph into, he didn't believe me at first, and then the angel, Elizabeth and John, you were there, Jesus, kind of, I don't know, I'm trying to figure this thing out too, I'm your mama, but Jesus, just do your thing. He chooses to do a miracle quietly by giving people instructions to follow through with. And Mary's comment, do whatever he says. I think that is wonderful advice. On Mother's Day, on Father's Day, on Christmas, on Easter, on Tuesday, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Believe in Jesus' power when you are in trouble. We see that Jesus even cares about temporal things. The running out of wine had zero eternal consequences. This wasn't a life and death thing. This wasn't a heaven flat or temporary, like my tire's flat or it was temporary. Jesus cared enough about that to do something. What's the takeaway? When you have a problem, do what Jesus tells you to do. Just do what we try to come up with all these solutions to stuff when sometimes what we need is just simple act of obedience. Do what he tells you to do. I can tell you there has been, I don't know, 5 or 10 million times where I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, man. And then when you get wrapped up in the emotions of a situation, when it's hard and you're like, oh, now I'm confused. I don't know. God, what it was going on here? I found many times the most powerful thing you can do is a simple act of obedience. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. Servants, trust Jesus like Mary. Mary knew. Mary knew. Rely on Jesus. Trust him. Surrender your issues, your problems. He cares about the smallest things. Can I tell you he cares about how much car insurance coverage you should get? He cares. He'll help you. He cares about how to do a home budget. Actually, according to the Bible, he cares a lot about that. He cares about where you should go to school, or what job you should get, or what you should eat, or what you shouldn't eat. He cares about the smallest things. And he will take care of you. He will take care of you, Lily. He will take care of you. Trust in Jesus like Mary. Number 4, come on, man. Stand near Jesus even when you don't understand and it's painful. Stand near Jesus even when you don't understand and it's painful. John 19:25. We fast forward now. Mary's mentioned a few times between then and crucifixion. Not a lot, a few times. I don't think the Apostle Paul ever referred to Mary by name after the death of Jesus. Now she's there, and it's the end of Jesus' earthly life. The scene is the cross. Verse 19, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. That's all it says. She knew he was responsible for that water to wine deal. She knew he's responsible for the woman with the issue of blood. She knew he was responsible for Lazarus being dead and then undead. He ain't dead no more. She knew. She knew he has a supernatural conception. She knew the angel had visited Joseph and said, get out of here because they're going to try to wipe out all the little boys, two and under. Get out of here. I need you to preserve the Christ. And then when it was time to come back, she knew that God had given them step by step. She had seen Jesus. She's now transitioned to from I'm his mother, he's a baby, to he's my Savior. She recognizes she's a sinner and in need of grace. Now Jesus has been arrested, accused, trumped up charges, kangaroo court in the middle of the night. And now, very quickly, he's been called to be executed. This is not, they're not, you know, shipping him off to Atlanta and putting him in Memphis. And this is all right there. And she is horrified, powerless, can do nothing about the brutality. Nothing. She sees Jesus' whipped body, beaten, the crown of thorns. He is near unrecognizable. She follows him as he carries the cross. She's right there, but can't seem to help him. So what does she do? As Jesus is hanging on the cross, she stands near. She stands close. When you don't understand, and when you don't see the purpose, when it feels confusing and maybe even traumatizing, stand near Jesus. To watch the brutality, she is not going anywhere. She stands right there. She doesn't understand. She's like, you walked on water. We had that Bible study that one time. Like, weren't there like 5,000 people that you guys, the dinner and what? Now this, it doesn't fit to her paradigm. She can't make sense of it. But she doesn't leave him. Let me do some earthly applications. Many times as a parent, mothers, your kids will do things that put you in the most precarious positions. When that happens, do not believe the lie that you are a failure. Do not believe that lie. The first parents, Adam and Eve, had Cain and Abel, right? One obeyed and one rebelled and disobeyed. When you find yourself in a precarious position with your children. Be present. Be near. Draw close. Some of your greatest joys in life will be through your children. It will be. Absolutely. Euphoric. And some of the most frustrating, difficult things will be challenges that involve your kids. In those moments, your kids need you. If they are 4 or 64, they need you in their greatest moments of success to cheer them on and let them know that you're proud of them. They need you in their greatest moments of failure to be present and let them know you were there for them. Mary knew that Jesus was supernatural. She was there for the miracles. She remembered the angels, the wise men coming, the warnings. Yet she watches as ruthless men beat, torture, mock, and annihilate her son. Sometimes following Jesus doesn't make sense. She didn't know what was on the other side. She couldn't see over that cross. She couldn't see 4 days later, 3 days later, 50 days later. She couldn't see. She couldn't see. But she stood right there. She wasn't going anywhere. Friends, stand near Jesus even when you don't understand. And sometimes it will be painful. But I promise you, His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. When the rest of the world rejects Christ, stand by Him. When the rest of the world throws stones and mocks, stand by Him. When the rest of the world, when it seems like everyone is mocking and criticizing and ridiculing, stand there with Him. You may endure pain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There is a resurrection on the other side of the cross. And ultimately, Jesus rose victorious. He appears first to the women. Those who were there at the foot of the cross. The fellows, a lot of them, they were scattered. Do you love them today? Yeah. Are you in a place today that doesn't make sense to you? Are you in a place today that you can't line it all up? I can't reason. Do you have a situation that seems like, God, where are you? You know? What happened to the miracles? What happened to that? You know, it would be a good time, God, about right now for you to come through. It would be a good time about right now for you to help me make sense of this. Like right now would be a good time for you to show up and do something. About right now would be a good time for your promises to be fulfilled. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't see it. But I'm not leaving your side. Amen? Would you stand all over the place? The lights are going to dim, and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Stick close to Jesus. I want you to close your eyes and ask God this question. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? God's called us to be servants. Look at Mary's life. What can we glean from her? Be a servant like that. Whatever you say, God, I'm in. Have a contagious faith. Be involved in life-giving ministry. I've given you one great way to glorify God today. Be part of the Compassion Portal. Make a commitment to be at the meeting after be like 15 or 20 minutes. When your back's against the wall, trust in Jesus and do not leave his side. Bow your head and close your eyes with me. Maybe you're here today and you are in a situation that don't make sense. To your mind, you can't figure it out. It feels very chaotic, disruptive, and your faith is being challenged. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. Now is the time I need to know that Jesus is near. Now is the time. I need strength in this season. Pray for me, Pastor. This is hard. Pray for strength that I will stand right there with him. If that's you, just wave at me all over the place. All over the place.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.